So today's message is, I want to take a new direction, kind of turn on a dime here, because I think we're going to go into a little series. And this is part one. It's called Motivation. And we want to take a look at the reasons why we do things. I think if we can understand why we're doing something, we won't come up with this excuse as, well, it's summertime, so I'm not going to do it. You'll understand why you're doing it. You'll know you need to do this, and you'll continue to do it all the time. But we got to understand our motivation behind it. The people that are really, truly motivated, if their motivation is coming from the inside, those are the people that become the most successful. Doesn't matter what area of the world they're working in, those people are going to achieve, and they just keep going forward. And they're motivated by something on the inside that's driving them. And we're going to look deeper into what is motivating them and why. People that don't have motivation, you know that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? That's an unmotivated person, because you're going to be telling them the right things. You're going to be telling them what they could do to change their life. You could give them all the best information ever, and you'll get them right there where they could receive it, and they won't do anything. And you're wondering, why don't you drink? It's right there in front of you. Your whole life could be different. You could feel so much better. You'd be blessed in so many ways, and yet you can't get them to drink if they're not motivated. We got to know what our motivation is first and foremost. And that's what I want to focus on today, is what's motivating you. You know, there's a good question that I think a lot of you might have heard. Why did the chicken cross the road? Did you hear that? Have you heard that question? It's a joke, right? Why did the chicken cross the road? And a lot of times, I think the standard basic answer is to get to the other side. But I really want to know what motivated the chicken to cross the road. What was his motivation? Now, some people have said the world would be a better place if we stopped questioning the motivation of the chicken and just let him cross the road. But we got to look and see, why did he cross the road? Was the chicken crossing the road because there was something on this side that was scaring him? Maybe there was an alligator that was about to eat the chicken, and he realized, I'm going to be a lot safer if I'm on the other side of the road. Was that the chicken's motivation? Or was it that he looked up and he saw something green and wonderful over on the other side of the road? He's like, that's grass. Growing up on the farm, you know, we had chickens. And my father would have them in a coop, and he let them out into their little cage outside. And they were so happy to get outside, and you'd hear them clucking and moving around. But did I call that chicken he? I'm just wondering, because it's a she. I just want to correct you there, in case you weren't watching. But when those chickens would come outside, once in a while, they would escape from the pen outside. And on the outside of the pen was the green grass. Because inside, they had picked that sucker clean. There was no green grass anymore on the inside of the pen. But if one of them got out, man, and you just see it was so, I don't know, you see a chicken smile, but you could see they were happy. And that chicken was just like picking, 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 grabbing all the grass up, so happy to eat the grass. And it was just like the best day ever for that chicken, you know. And I was like, wow, that's a happy chicken. But so I don't know, maybe the chicken saw on the other side of that road some green grass. Because I know the chicken would have crossed that road to get to the green grass. I know that's why they would have done it. Now maybe once the chicken gets over there. And the reason this is important is because there's two different things we start to see. Are we motivated and driven to get away from something we don't want, that we want to avoid, that we sense is bad? And I think, unfortunately, the majority of people change their life because the pain of staying where you are is worse than the pain of changing. Change isn't always easy, but that's usually what ends up motivating people. But we want to be motivated in a different way. We don't want to get caught up in being motivated by fear or pain. I'll tell you, for a long time, centuries really, people were motivated to go to church, to come to God, out of fear. If you don't do it, you're going to hell. And that's not the way God works, though. That's not how God motivates us. Now, people, in the name of God, were using that to drive people to do something, to motivate them and do something that they didn't really want to do. But really, God has us, He wants to motivate us in a whole different way. He wants to motivate us through showing us a vision. I try to do that for you guys every week a little bit. Cast a vision. We talk about some, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders so that you can catch that and go, oh, I could have that in my life. I talk about the plan of God and what he wants to do in your life so you could catch that and go, wow, what's the vision that God has for me? Because if you catch that, now suddenly you're going to be like the chicken looking over there and seeing the green grass. And when he gets over there and sees the green grass on the other side of the road, he might look up, she might look up, and see the green hill with more grass on it and be inspired to go up that hill. Now, the reason I chose this topic this week is it started off with a conversation that I had earlier in the week. I was working with this lady, and she's a trainer. And she was telling me, she said, Ted, you know what I want? Because we were talking about her goals. And she said, you know what I want? I want every single one of my clients that comes, I want them to be motivated. And I was like, wow, I'd like that too. I want that. I want every client that comes to see me to be motivated. That'd be cool. And I started telling her story. I said, you know, when I was about your age, a long time ago, I had a thriving practice, and I was busy all the time. I was working in my office and doing chronic pain stuff from early morning till late at night, and I had a lot of clients. And then one day, I said, you know what? I want to have every single client that comes to see me to be motivated so the two of us can work together. And so I started doing things to get rid of the unmotivated ones. After a short time, I had very few clients. I had very few clients because what I realized is most people aren't motivated. You know, and even in the field that I was in, which a lot of people are motivated by pain. Pain will make you do things you don't want to do because you want to get away from the pain. You know, that's a motivator for people. And still, even in that field, I realized that, wow, everybody's coming to see me has pain. They all should have been motivated to do whatever it was that it was going to take to get rid of that pain. And yet, when I really started to pressure and take a look and see who's motivated, there wasn't very many people motivated even by the pain that they had. And some of them had that pain 5 and 10 and 15 years. They live with it all the time. Some of them are borderline getting caught, you know, about to get addicted to the pain medication because they've been taking it for so long. And still, with the opportunity that I was saying, I know we can get rid of this pain. It wasn't enough to make them motivated. So this lady was talking about how she wanted to have every one of her clients to be motivated. Because she said, you can get so much more done when they're motivated. You tell a motivated person to do a few sit-ups and a few push-ups, and pretty soon they're doing twice as many, they're doing three times as many, and you notice, you tell them what to eat, and man, they cut out all the bad stuff, and they start losing weight like crazy, and they start looking good. She told me about this lady that she had that she was training for a couple of years that wasn't motivated, and this lady was gaining weight. And she was so embarrassed as a trainer, because you imagine you go to the gym and you say, oh my God, this looks really bad for me because I'm training this lady for 2 years and she's gaining weight. What are people thinking about me as a trainer? So she wanted to have, you know, motivated people, and I understand that. It's more fun to work with a motivated person. It's more fun to do that because they will do what it takes to reach the goal. And then I had another interesting conversation. This was with a friend of ours, and he had lost 77 pounds. And when I hadn't seen him recently, and so when I met with him, began talking about what was it that motivated you. And God had already started talking in my heart about this message. So when I met him, I was like, I want to know what motivated this guy to do this. Because he could have taken the easy way, and I think a lot of people now, and Liza and I were talking about this, they'll just have their stomach stapled, and then they lose like 100-some pounds. But then what we notice is also, because they were motivated in the wrong way, even though they wanted to lose weight, but maybe they did it in the wrong way, they stretch that stomach back out. And after a while, they gain all that weight back, and we notice that time and time again. But that wasn't what this guy did. He didn't have his stomach stapled. So I said, what was it that motivated you? Because he changed his diet and he changed his routine. I saw this guy a little more than a year ago the last time. And when I saw him at that time, he did no physical activity and he ate And every meal was a feast. It was fun to eat with him because he really loved eating. And luckily, I can eat a lot too. So it was fun for me too. And he liked to try all kinds of interesting and unique things. And he travels all over the world and he gets this special sausage. And he starts to break it down. He tells me what this sausage was made of, this special sausage that was made in Germany, and it's got these ingredients, and this is why it's great. And this time he was talking to me about a 30-year-old tea. They buried this tea in the ground for 30 years because to make it taste better and it's smoother. I didn't like that tea. Luckily, he didn't break out the one that was buried for 60 years. Because I didn't like the 30 one. I only thought, oh, the 60's got to be twice as bad. But this was his, you know, when I met him the last time, he loved this food and he did no physical activity. He was gaining weight like crazy. So I was like, what was it that motivated you? And he was motivated by getting away from something he didn't want because his blood sugar was out of control. And he was already taking 3 different medications for diabetes. And he was borderline. He was going to have to go to insulin. And it's like, I don't want that. That was his number one goal. In fact, he said to me, Ted, I wasn't starting this whole thing to lose weight. That wasn't my goal. But I didn't want to have to go to insulin. I didn't want to become a diabetic like that. And so that's what motivated him to do this. And he made major changes. This guy now exercises 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon. My next question was, where do you get the energy? Because I used to do 3 hours of, you know, exercising when I was in my 20s, and I'm thinking, I don't think I could do 6 hours of exercising today. But he's really motivated to do it. And he's swimming like crazy all the time. He's swimming, and he's on his treadmill, and he's losing weight amazingly. And he changed his diet. He changed what he was eating. He still loves to eat. And he still loves to find this unique stuff to eat, but now he's eating different things. So he's avoiding carbs. He's not eating any bread. And he's eating a lot of protein. And he says, I still love to eat. I didn't want to be hungry, and I didn't want to starve, and I didn't want it to be a diet in the sense that you're not eating anything. He says, I want to eat, and I don't want to feel hungry. I want to eat whenever I want to eat, and I want to eat as much as I want to eat. And that's what he's been doing. But he's been watching what it is that he's eating. You know, he's making healthier choices. So I really respected how he had done that. But he was motivated by something he didn't want. Again, I think God wants us to be motivated in a little different way. God was really helping me this week because I also talked with another friend of mine. And this guy, it was kind of interesting because he would have to fall into the category of having no motivation. He basically, what we were talking, out of the blue, he suddenly throws out this statement, I could live in a prison cell. I'm like, I never asked, but okay. You know, and I thought about this, and I'm like, why would you want to live in a prison cell? I mean, what is the motivation behind that? But exactly, there is no motivation behind that. That is he's distilling everything down to a very simple, small kind of way of being. And he's basically saying, I don't need anything. I could just live in that cell. I'm thinking, would you live there the rest of your life? You know, I mean, what would you do in there? Is that what God wants us to do? Just live in a little cell like that? Not come out? But that was an interesting thing, too. Now, another lady that I came across this week, too. Boy, I've met a lot of people this week. And this lady, it was interesting because she's one of these, she's got her PhD. Does she got her PhD or she's going for her PhD? She's working on her PhD. Very smart, very intellectual, you know, has done a lot of school already. And we started having this conversation. She started talking about these, you know, kind of these kids, trust fund babies. Well, not trust fund babies, but their fathers have gone to Princeton, and their grandfathers have gone to Princeton, and their great-grandfather went to Princeton, and they're going to go to Princeton. And so they already have this path chosen for them. But what she was talking about is how they just struggled. How they had no motivation to get the training done. And in some cases, it was because they didn't want that. That wasn't what was for their life. They had no interest in it, and they didn't want to be there. And the other thing was, some of them felt entitled. Why do I have to work for it? If my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather went here, it's an automatic. I'm going to get in. So they weren't really taking advantage of this incredible opportunity to go to a great school. Instead, they said, you know I'm going to graduate. You know, I have to graduate because that's just the way it is. And so I thought, that's interesting how these people with such great opportunity couldn't find the motivation to take advantage. And it's like leading the horse to water and they can't drink, as I was saying earlier. Sometimes there's a great opportunity for us, and yet we can't take advantage of it. Why don't we do it? What motivates you? Start thinking about what motivates you now. I want you to kind of examine your life. This is the whole purpose of why I'm talking about this. I'm throwing these stories out to tell you some different perspectives, but what's motivating you? Why do you do the things you do? And that's the question, why? Are you doing things because it's a habit, you've gotten used to it, or is there some other reason? Are you doing it to avoid the pain or the sickness? Or is there something greater? And this is what I want to get to. See, I believe the way God is working to motivate us, He has a plan for you. He has a vision for you. He has a mission for your life. And He's speaking that into your heart all the time. He is showing you something great you can be, something great you can do. It's inside of you already. He's saying it's there, and you can be that person. Just grab this vision that I'm showing you. And He's trying to motivate you by showing you the vision, giving you the feeling, inspiring you, so you now don't look to leave and get away from what you don't like, but you start to run towards what you want. You start to move towards what it is you desire to have. That's the way God wants to motivate us. Now, as I said, some people have used the name of God to motivate us by fear, but that's not His way. I believe God's way is He's put something incredible on the inside of every single one of us. And now He's trying to reveal it. He's trying to cut through all the baloney, all of that stuff we picked up from culture, all that stuff we look in the mirror and we say, oh, that's who I am. God's trying to cut through that, and He's trying to reveal to us who we really are. And when we see that, when we see who we really are and what we're capable of, now we can start to run towards being that. We can start to live that life, the life that God wants us to live. In the Bible, it talks about Abraham. Abraham, now let's picture this. This is in ancient times, so there's no cell phones, there's no freeways, there's no cars, there's no GPS, there's no satellites to show you something. There's not even any photographs so you can see what the place looks like. Abraham is a guy who's 75 years old. Most of us figure you're probably retiring by then, right? You're not going to start off on a whole new career or mission usually. I hope you're not thinking that though, because I don't think God wants us to retire. And because I think there's still a lot of good things you could do, a lot of great adventures. And Abraham's a good example of that. So Abraham's got an inheritance. He's like one of these kids who's, you know, my father went to Princeton, I'm going to go to Princeton too. His father has the land, he's got a house, he's got property, and he's got it right here. And if Abraham's 75, how old do you think his father is? So how long does he have to wait to inherit this? It's right here. He doesn't have to do anything or go anywhere. He could just wait it out. It's a couple of years tops, right? I mean, that's it. But Abraham hears from God, and God speaks to him and says, I want to give you a land. I'm sure Abraham is going, is it down the street? Where is it? I mean, if it's just down the street, I'll take it. God is saying, this is a promised land. I will lead you and I will show you it. Leave your father's house. Abraham begins to understand, wait a minute, this isn't just down the street. Leave my father's house. I mean, this is the thing I'm supposed to inherit. No, leave it. Don't worry about this inheritance. Let it go. I have something better for you. This guy's 75. So he picks up and he takes everything he belongs. He takes his wife, takes his nephew, takes his animals, his servants, and he sets out on this journey to a place he's never seen. No photos of it. Following a voice that nobody else can hear. He's the only one hearing this voice, the voice of God. And he's walking into the wilderness, into the desert, to a foreign land, because God has told him, I'm going to give you this promised land, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. You will become a great nation at 75. Now, he has no children yet. He's hoping for children, but it's getting a little late. His wife is, I think she's 65. It's getting a little late. There's no children yet. But Abraham follows this voice to a foreign land, far, far, far from his father's house and from the inheritance that was guaranteed. And why did he do that? What motivated Abraham to do that? Think about that for a moment. Because he caught a vision from God of something greater, a promise from God. And once he caught that, it's like you ever get an idea and you just can't let it rest. You can't let go of that idea until you go ahead and try it. You don't know if it's going to work, but you just get that idea. I got to do this. I got to try this. It's risky. Okay, but I got to try this because I think it's going to work. I got this feeling. I think that's the way Abraham felt when he got the vision of God. And I think he knew at his age, once he got all the way out there, there was no coming back. I think it was part of him knew that. But once he got that, he had to go. And he went. And he wasn't driven by something he was trying to run away from. He wasn't motivated by fear. Everything here was good. He gets his father's house. He gets his father's land. There's a great inheritance waiting for him. His father was a rich man. Something great was waiting for him here. So he's not running away from something. But God shows him something even greater. And he gives him a vision that you're going to be a great nation. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he follows this, and I believe it's because he wants this son. He doesn't have him yet. And the wife is 65, and he's 75. And he's being told by God that you're going to have a lot of children. You're going to have children as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach. A lot. And so he goes off on this journey. He's motivated by something great. He's lifted to a new level. And it even says in the scriptures, it says, if we would have let our minds turn back to where we came from, we probably would have gone back there. In other words, if he every day as he's walking towards this promised land that he doesn't see, following this voice that nobody else hears, if he had let his mind go back to where he had come from, it would have been very easy to turn around and say, okay, forget this. 3 days, we're too far out. Let's go back. Reminds me of the first time I took Liza hiking. She didn't know what hiking was, really. She missed, and there might have been a language thing going on there, because I said hiking, and she said, sure. But I think she was thinking picnic. And when I got to her house, she was wearing these sandals, open-toed. Pretty. They were very, very attractive, but I was like, we're going hiking, right? I'm looking at her shoes. She's going, yeah, we're going hiking. In those shoes? Yeah, they're good shoes. I like them. We're going hiking. After several minutes, I finally said, maybe you should bring some other shoes with you, just in case. And she brought some sneakers, which was a good idea. When we got there, we got her sneakers on. I finally convinced her. And we started walking, and we got to the edge of the parking lot. And she turns back and goes, the car's looking pretty far away. I'm like, this is the edge of the parking lot, honey. We're hiking on this trail. You know, we were still dating. We were friends, so we weren't married yet. And we get up the hill a little ways, and she turns back and looks through the trees. And I don't barely see the car over there. I think we should go back. I'm like, no. You know, we're gonna go to the end of this hike. I think it was like a mile hike. I picked a short one for her. Got a little further. She couldn't see the car. She says, I really think we should go back. I can't see the car. And I'm thinking, my goodness, we've been hiking for like 20 minutes maybe. Finally, we walk a little further. She says, that's it. I think I just have to sit down. You know, but see, she kept looking back, thinking, Where's the car? I'm looking ahead thinking, okay, we got a mile to go. There's this beautiful rock formation. We're going to see this. We're going to climb to the top of it. We're going to see an incredible view. Man, there'll be like these hawks circling around above, right above us. I mean, that'll be awesome. I'm looking where we're going. She's looking back where we came from. She keeps looking back, and it slows her down. Eventually, it stops her. Hey, we got to go back. You know, the only reason we hadn't gone back yet is that kid said, no, there's something cool ahead. Let's go. But Abraham did not allow himself to look backward. And I think in your life, too, if we keep looking back, and I think if you're motivated by the sickness you've got to get away from, or the fear that you're worried, if it's you're driven by fear, then I think you're looking back all the time, meaning you're not going to make the progress or become the success that you want to be. So you've got to be motivated by the right thing. If the chicken's crossing that road to get away from the alligator, then he's spending at least half of his time looking back, making sure the alligator's not getting closer, rather than looking ahead and seeing the green grass and going, oh, this is going to be the best day of my life when I get across this road. That's green grass. Same thing in your life. We've got to understand what's motivating you. What's motivating you to do the things you're doing? If you're motivated by, I remember when I was younger, one of the things that motivated me was I'd get a little complacent, and then I'd start to say, oh, you got to get stirred up. Okay, what is it that stirred me up? I started remembering, if I get to the end of my life, this is what motivated me. I had a vision. If I got to the end of my life and I'm sitting in my rocking chair, I'm 35. Of course, I was pretty young then, so 35 seemed old. But, you know, now I'd be a little bit older. But if I get to the end of my life and I'm sitting in that rocking chair and I'm sitting there and I'm going, I wish I would have, I should have, I could have, but I never did. And that made me angry. And I said, I don't want to be sitting there wishing that I had lived life and instead I got complacent and I never did it. But see, I realized that at that moment, when I was younger, but today I realize that was a motivation out of fear. I was afraid that I would have regrets, and I was afraid, so I was looking back still. We got to be motivated by something else. You got to be motivated by where you're going and who you are. Who are you created to be? The who you are, I don't say who you are in terms of who you think you are, but who you are according to what God has created you to be. Every one of us was created to be an incredible being. And he put before you a plan for your life. In other words, you can achieve that plan. Now, Abraham went on to achieve the plan. He got to where he was supposed to be. He had the son of promise, Isaac. So he achieved what they were supposed to. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah, who was the one that gave birth to him, was 90. It's not too late. You haven't missed it yet. You haven't missed pursuing who you are. You haven't missed your destiny. It's not too late. I look around this room and I don't see anybody over 70. You know, in fact, a lot of you have a lot more time than that. So what I'm saying is, if you can begin to see the plan that God has for you, and nobody else might hear that voice, you might be the only one hearing God tell you to do this and to go forth and achieve these things. Don't let them say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Let the voice of God lead you to something greater. Let your motivation be on the things that you're going to achieve, that are going to move you higher. Don't let it be on what you're trying to get away from or what you're trying to avoid. As we focus on motivation, and I want to talk a little bit more about this in part two next week, we got to know it's the vision of God that can motivate us and the power of God that can motivate us. And we got to get excited about it. I think that this is one of the challenging things, because we have a lot of other stuff we can get excited about. But I come in and I try to share something with you that gets you motivated, gets you excited, gets you a glimpse of the vision of God. But I think, again, it's got to come from inside, because I can lead a horse to water. but you've got to do the drinking. So you've got to get motivated from the inside and see that vision, see the plan that God has for you, and understand that it is incredible and it is a great opportunity. What was the biggest change in the last year for you? Take a moment to think about that. What was the biggest change in the last year for you? It's funny, when I wrote that question, you know, I thought about some of the members of Golden Heart and what they would say. And you know, my mind did turn to Candace. And I was like, that was a good one. So Candace is sitting here nodding, and I'm like, that's funny, because I remember when I asked that question, I thought about all these people that I knew, and I was like, how would they answer that question? You know? And that was somebody that I thought about. But think about that for your life. What was the biggest change in the last year for you? And why did you make that change? Did you make that change to avoid something? To get away from something? To stop something from happening that you didn't like? Or did you make that change because you were inspired to become more than what you were? You wanted to do something great. You saw a potential in your life to have something amazing. What was it that motivated you to make this change? If you're sitting there and thinking, I can't think of anything really that changed in the last year, you might be unmotivated. Just saying. Because I do believe that God wants us to be growing. We should be growing with Him all the time and being transformed. Remember what I talked about last week? From faith to faith, from glory to glory. In other words, every victory of faith when we believe for something and then it happens is setting us up for an even greater victory tomorrow. But we've got to be growing and changing for that to happen, because if I'm only believing for a space to park my car today and I'm only believing for a space to park my car tomorrow, my faith isn't growing. I'm not challenging myself. I think all of life, the plan that God has, all of life is for us to continual growing from now to eternity. That's when it's the most exciting. And when we can make that our habit and make that our passion, it feels good. It feels good to learn something new that you didn't know. It feels good to achieve goals. It feels good to reach those levels that you never even knew you could reach. What's going to keep you motivated along the way? Look at the success that you had and celebrate it. By celebrating, and it doesn't have to be that you only celebrate when you suddenly do something incredible that's so amazing. Celebrate the little successes. If you every day celebrate the small successes, that keeps you going and it keeps you motivated. If you only wait to celebrate the big, huge success, then you might wait a couple of years before you see that, or 6 months. And in the meantime, you get, you know, unmotivated. You get tired and you get depressed and you think nothing's happening. But if you can celebrate every little achievement, it keeps you going from one moment to the next, from one day to the next, from one week to the next, and they're building on top of one another, and you keep seeing them. I've been encouraging you guys to have a little journal and write down all the victories of the things you see God do. Because it gives you a time. If you ever wake up one day and you're feeling depressed, you know how to get out of that. You open this little journal and you start reading about all the great things that you and God have done together. How there was a hurdle in your way, but you believe God to break through it, and boom, something miraculous happened. And the more you see that, you realize by the time you get to the bottom of your list, what am I depressed about? We're going to overcome this too, God. Amen. And you'll break right out of it. What's going to motivate you is stay focused on those little things, because they lead to big things. I'm sure Abraham was doing the same thing. He probably looked back at the end of a day and thought, wow, we just traveled 3 miles. Not very far for an individual, but man, I'm traveling with animals and children and kids and, you know, Ferris wheels. I don't know what else he had with him, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that he was traveling with. What's motivating you? Now, as you go out this week, I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to start to think about why you do all the things that you do in your life. I want you to think about, why do you do all the things you do in your life? Because sometimes we're just doing stuff out of habit. Let's not live that way anymore. Sometimes we're doing things just because it became a routine or it's our culture. Let's not do things that way anymore. Let's be motivated that it's going to create a better life. We're following the vision that God is giving us. And we're actively getting up and pursuing something out of passion, out of love, out of joy, so that our lives can be better. I want you to examine your life this week. Take a look at it and ask the question, why am I doing this? And see what your answer is. See what kind of, and you'll start to see more clearly what's motivating you. You know, as we look, we can look through the Bible and we can ask, why did some of these characters do the things that they did? Why did Cain kill Abel? Why? What was his motivation behind this? It's funny, Alfred Hitchcock, actors used to come to Alfred Hitchcock when he was shooting a movie, and they would ask him, okay, what's my motivation for this scene? Alfred Hitchcock, in his British style, would say, your salary. Money. That was it, you know. But ask that question for yourself this week. Why are you doing what you're doing? I think you're going to find... Now, why did Cain kill Abel, since I brought that up? What was his motivation? Abel was getting blessed by God, and Cain wasn't receiving this blessing, and he got jealous. So he was envious and jealous of his brother. That's why he killed him. You know, when we look at our motivation, you can start seeing more clearly why you've done those things. So go out there, start to ask that question. We're going to talk about this more. So I hope you come back with a list of interesting things that you've seen, why you're doing the stuff that you're doing. Because I think it'll change the way you start to approach your life. I'm challenging you this week. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask that question again. What was the biggest change in the last year, with your eyes closed, just kind of see that? Maybe it might have been a few things. Maybe it wasn't just one. And again, why did you make this change? And today, I want you to make a choice in your heart. Choose to be the chicken that crosses the road to get to the grass, rather than being the chicken that's crossing the road to get away from something that's on this side. Make the choice to be the person who's choosing to do the things in your life because you know you can have a greater life. You can have an amazing life. And in your heart right now, just talk to God. Let Him know what your choice is.